This is VLX 4, Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24, the birth of Jesus Christ. Today is going to be a little bit longer than normal because it's our first real meditation, and I want to give you the tools of both St. Bruno and St. Teresa of Avila to do this way of meditation. Matthew chapter 1, after the genealogy, begins, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. As you may remember, the very first step for St. Bruno is careful study. As I said before, the will follows the intellect, so we have to fill our mind with the right thing. And there's actually quite a few errors in the modern mind regarding this chapter that we should really correct. Very few of my meditations are going to be apologetics-based. Apologetics is defending the Catholic faith. But because part of St. Bruno's meditation includes careful study, sometimes we have to dissipate a few of these errors. And today is one of those days. So I don't want you to see this as apologetics so much as a runway to a solid meditation on the Holy Family. The Holy Family is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. In some translations, it says, "So he decided to send her away quietly." Send her away quietly. Or in some translations, "Being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly." So a lot of translations, you see that word shame in there. But that word shame isn't exactly the correct translation. The Greek word is degmatisai. Degmatisai is the Greek. And that really means to expose, to make a show of. This is what St. Jerome says. And St. Jerome said this in the 4th century about the passage I just read there. And it's always good to look at the Church Fathers as part of our study for the method of St. Jerome before we get to the meditation, so we make sure we're on the right track. St. Jerome says, quote, "Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. If any man be joined to a fornicatrix, they become one body, and according to the law that they are privy to a crime are thereby guilty. How then can it be St. Joseph is described as a just man, and at the very time he was compounding the criminality of his espoused? It must have been that he knew her to be pure, and yet understood not the mystery of her pregnancy, but while he wondered at that which had happened, was willing to hold his peace." End quote. So St. Jerome is saying two very interesting things in there. The first is that if Joseph had known of a crime and what could have been imputed to Our Lady as a crime, which we obviously know was not, God forbid any blasphemy, what could have been known as a crime, had he known that and not spoken, that would be a crime in and of itself. So how could he be a just man and do that? There's only one way out of this, and it's actually reality. Sacred Scripture is inspired, so it always shows us reality. And the reality that St. Jerome just told us is this. He said, quote, "It must have been that St. Joseph knew St. Mary to be pure. It wasn't like all the modern movies where he's embarrassed and can't figure this out, and he's just going to give God a chance and all that stuff. He knew that Mary was pure." St. Thomas Aquinas goes even further. Listen to this, quote, "For Joseph knew Mary's purity and had read in the Scriptures that a virgin would conceive, Isaiah 7:14. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. That was actually Isaiah 11, 1 that he quoted there too. St. Thomas Aquinas continues, "He had also known that Mary had descended from David. Hence, it was easier for him to believe that this had been fulfilled in her than that she had fornicated. And so, considering himself," this is speaking of St. Joseph, "considering himself unworthy to live together with such holiness," he's speaking of the Blessed Virgin Mary, "considering himself unworthy to live together with such holiness, he wanted to put her away secretly, just as Peter said, 'Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man.'" Close quote. St. Thomas Aquinas is not saying that St. Joseph was like St. Peter in this, but listen again very closely. "And so considering himself unworthy to live together with such holiness, he wanted to put her away secretly." Now, some people might think that's too pious or too impossible. Well, just like my last podcast, is it too impossible for God to make a Padre Pio who can read hearts, raise the dead, carry the stigmata of our Lord's wounds in his body? Then why couldn't St. Joseph have known Mary's purity if Padre Pio, a lesser saint, can read people's hearts? So we have to go back to the fathers and say, the Bible is miraculous like the saints. The saints are miraculous like the Bible. And St. Joseph was the second greatest saint, so he already knew of Mary's purity. So there was an awe at Mary. One more thing on the apologetics front. There's this troubling line for those who defend the perpetual virginity of Mary and even the perpetual virginity of Joseph. It came from Matthew 1:25, which was just in this. And again, a lot of our future meditations aren't going to have to do with apologetics, that is defending the Catholic faith scripturally, but we have to look at some of these things so we actually have the right meditation. So Matthew 1:25, it says, St. Joseph, quote, "knew her not until she had given birth to a son," close quote. Now the Greek there is kai ouk egenosen auten heos uateken huion, kai ekalese to onoma autu Jesum. He knew her not until she had given birth to a son. Now, if you're Catholic out there, you should be bothered by that word until. But here's why you shouldn't be bothered by that word. Because in English, until means up to but not beyond that point. But in Greek, until can mean up to and beyond that point. So heos in Greek, it's E-O-S, and if you see a little hat over the E pointing in the same direction as the rest of the word, you make an H sound. Heos in Greek is not only until, as in only up to that point, but up to and beyond that point. And this means that Joseph did not know Mary biblically up until birth and never after. Now, if there's not Catholics out there, you're saying, well, that's just eisegesis. That's just reading your own interpretation. And no, it's not. Let's look at another word, or rather, let's look at another place that heos is in the Bible. Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 13. "And to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." That's Hebrews 1:13. So show your Protestant friends, or if you're Protestant, show yourself. But of course, which Catholics or Protestants out there would say that Christ is only going to reign until his enemies be at his feet? Of course, he's going to reign until and beyond the point that his enemies are at his feet. Otherwise, we would have to say, what, then his enemies reign as soon as his enemies are put at his feet? Of course not. Christ reigns now and until his enemies are locked away in hell in the final judgment and beyond that, of course. So, heos can mean up to the point and beyond, meaning that St. Joseph and St. Mary were virgins up to that point and beyond. That's what until means. So, just as the virginity of Mary was before the birth of Jesus and even during the birth of Jesus, and now we know her body is virgin in heaven, as is St. Joseph's, forevermore. But we haven't even gotten to step two on meditation. It is just that, meditation. Meditatio is hidden treasure, as I said. Remember I said in previous videos that we'd be looking at a quarter chapter of a gospel. So you want to hone in now on even just a few words from what we've already read. And maybe I would suggest this. You can look at whatever you want, but since I'm going to kind of give you the training wheels for you to launch into your own meditation, and I beg you to turn your phone off for 15 minutes after this video to actually do the meditation now, maybe consider verse 23 from chapter 1. It's all about this word, Emmanuel, God with us. As I said, in the method of St. Bruno, you don't use your imagination. We're going to get to imagination later in this video, and I'm sorry this one's going to be longer than the future ones. But maybe I would suggest for St. Bruno, hone in on Emmanuel, God with us. Listen to that verse. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So see that term, Emmanuel, God with us. The powerful thing about that word Emmanuel is that it's the exact same in Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and English. I personally think that there's a lot of power in a word that is kept not just translated, but transliterated into the vernacular. For some reason, I believe it carries just something powerful in the ancient languages right there. But Emmanuel carries with it not only the majesty of God on earth, that word is connected to our need for a Savior. Meditate on how connected that word of Emmanuel, the majesty of God, is connected to our need for a Savior. Meditate on how connected this is to your personal need for a Savior in your 15 minutes of prayer. Think of how many things in your life you need saving from. Interesting question I saw on Facebook recently said, if you could go back in time, what 5 words would you say to yourself as a 15-year-old? If you could go back in time, what 5 words would you say to yourself as a 15-year-old? Would it be, resist peer pressure on everything? Would it be, don't marry your first boyfriend? Would it be, trust God more than others? Now, that's just a secular exercise. It's not even a religious exercise. And think of how many mistakes we've all made our whole life. Gives you kind of an idea how powerful this word Emmanuel is, that God wants to be with you. He wants to save you, not just last minute, skin of your teeth, deathbed conversion. Emmanuel, God with us, now, wants to save you, wants to be with you. And then think how that word Emmanuel is connected to 2 verses later. It says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. The Ignatius Study Bible, written by Curtis Mitch, says this, the Greek name Jesus is equivalent to the Hebrew name Joshua, Yeshua, meaning Yahweh saves. It was a popular name among first century Jews. Even greater than Joshua, who led Israel into the Promised Land, Jesus leads God's people into the eternal land of heaven. Greater also than David, Jesus will save his people from their sins, not from their national enemies, end quote. Now that thought from the Ignatius Study Bible, I think that's a great thought right now as our country is about to fall apart. This notion that I need a Savior more than the United States needs a Savior. So where I would go, if you like St. Bruno's way of meditation, is to sit with that word Emmanuel, God with us. St. Teresa of Avila says, all sins are committed because we do not think of God as really present, but imagine Him as very far off. So meditate for 15 minutes on how close God is. Again, listen to that quote from St. Teresa of Avila. All sins are committed because we do not think of God as really present, but imagine Him as very far off. Now, not that she cares in heaven what I think, but I very much agree with her as I look around at how many people who confess Christ may, say, take His name in vain, or destroy other people's reputation, or whatever. Would we men take a second glance at a woman if we thought Christ literally was at our side when we did that? But more than fear, this meditation is one of love. Meditate on the love of God, that He would want to be known forever to even the angels as Emmanuel, the one God of the universe who wants to be just as present now to men and women as He is to the angels. And not just men and women in heaven, men and women and children here on earth. This is the mystery of the Incarnation that we're invited to meditate on in this St. Bruno method. Not using our imagination, but the reality of God being with us. God is as spiritually present to us here on earth as He is to the angels. And then when we're before the Blessed Sacrament, we are as physically close to Jesus Christ, not just the second person of Trinity. Of course, Jesus is the second person of Trinity. We are as physically close to Jesus of Nazareth as, say, St. Bartholomew was talking to Him under a fig tree. But now we're getting into the imagination way of prayer, so we'll close up the way of St. Bruno because we have to move on in this same video to look at the way of St. Teresa of Avila. Matthew chapter 1 again. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is our first meditation using the method of St. Bruno and also the method of St. Teresa of Avila. Normally for the method of St. Teresa of Avila, I'm going to give you a framework in which to work, but today I want to tell you about the very first time I actually tried mental prayer in my life. It was my first summer of becoming a Focus missionary out at Christendom College. It was like 2002, and they had us read this book that I had promoted in VLX2, which I suggest everyone go and get, Conversation with Christ by Rohrbach. Lots of books called Conversation with Christ. Go see the one by Rohrbach. And I had never even learned the way of mental prayer. I read that book, they taught us the way of mental prayer, and I went to the chapel at Christendom College, and not even being someone very holy, not being someone very close to God, that night I went in and I tried this method to set it up, and every little step I took using my imagination, God took 10 steps to me. So you don't have to use this, but I want to tell you the exact meditation I use, just to give you an idea of how colorful this is. And if you think this is too colorful, go listen to VLX2 to hear all my quotes from Teresa of Avila, Ignatius of Loyola, Alphonsus Liguori, to learn this isn't the Protestant wacky modernist method. The old school saints use our imagination. So here's what I pictured myself as. Sounds kind of corny. I pictured myself at the birth of Jesus walking through this sort of hill country of Palestine at night. It's about 5 or 6 p.m., and I'm just a kind of a rascally slave boy, maybe about 200 meters above them, and I look down having no idea, as the sun is going down in these mountains, who this man is, who the woman on a donkey is, why she's pregnant. I do know, but I'm just pretending I'm this slave kid who just kind of like ran away from his parents at 15 or something. So I'm kind of on this hogback hopping hill to hill watching them, and then I notice that they go into a cave. So I kind of scamper down slowly, and the sun's going down, so it's pretty dark now. And in front of the cave are some stones. And I kind of picture me as I was at that point, just a little bit of a lost soul, not sure what I was doing at summer training, whatever. I just left EMS, just left being a paramedic. So I was kind of just a rascally person on my own at that point. I guess I kind of still am. And so I come up to this dark cave, and there's rocks in front of me. I hear a baby crying inside. And of course, deepest in my heart, I know I'm meditating on the birth of Jesus, of course, right? I know it's Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. But I wanted to try this method of St. Teresa of Avila of really heavily using my imagination. Okay, so I'm this slave kid, maybe 15 years old. I'm placing myself in front of this cave. There's some big boulders in it, so I can't exactly see over it unless I go on my tippy toes or whatever. And inside I hear this baby crying. And I'm curious. I want to know. And then I look up, and there's a man with a sword there. This is Joseph. And honestly, I was quite surprised to see Joseph with a sword. We always think of him as kind of the statue with pink and rosy cheeks, right? And but he had a sword. He's there to defend his family. And that was the first surprise. I didn't actually have him set up as pulling a sword on me. I did have it set up the Palestinian mountains and the dark and me as kind of in scraggly clothes and stuff. That was using imagination. If you think this is crazy, go back to VLX2 and listen to it. And so St. Joseph wants to defend his family. So no one should be watching, you know, your family right after your wife gave birth. And so he pulls his sword, and Mary says, that's okay, let him in. Mary says, let him in. And so he hesitantly obliges, and I come in, and Mary is holding her son Jesus right there. And, you know, I'm kind of kneeling in adoration behind these oxen and whatever animals I placed in there. You can place whatever animals you want in there. And I certainly didn't feel worthy to be there, either at summer training or in the adoration of this cave. But it's this dark cave, and there's some candles, and there's some animals. And it's Mary holding her baby. And I'm already totally surprised that she has said to Joseph, let him in. So I'm on my knees in adoration. And the next thing was really unexpected. Again, the funny thing about the way of Teresa of Avila is you don't have to be a mystic for mystical things to happen. You just set up the imagination. So I pictured, what is it like to have that cold mist of this cave on my face? What is it like to be near these oxen? What is it like to hear the sword of Joseph get sheathed again? And again, I felt unworthy to be in this cave, unworthy to be at summer training. And then the weirdest thing happened. Mary turned and she handed me her son, Jesus, to hold. And I remember being in Northern Virginia there just crying that I got to hold her son. I was going to be totally fine just sitting back and adoring Christ at that distance. And so when Mary came over and let me hold Jesus, what intimacy that was for someone who wasn't even very close to God at that point. Again, I probably still am not. But especially coming into mental prayer at that point, it was a really great gift from God to be able to see that He is willing to be super generous and wants to meet us in mystical prayer when we're simply doing our best. So let's briefly go through those steps of St. Teresa of Avila. First is a selection of material. You're not going to have to worry about that because that's going to be on the YouTube. Two is consideration. Remember, Father Peter Rohrbach and St. Teresa of Avila said, who is here in the scene? What is he doing? Why is he doing it? What does it mean to me? That's where you use your imagination. That's where I set up these Palestinian mountains at 7 or 8 p.m. It's dusk. This is where I pictured these rocks. This is where I pictured this cave I was going to go into. That's the part you're responsible for. Okay, step three of St. Ignatius of Loyola and St. Teresa of Avila. This is conversation with Christ. So now imagine me in prayer in Northern Virginia at Christendom College. I'm holding, in my imagination, of course, Jesus. Tears are streaming down my face because I didn't expect anything this intimate in prayer. But this is literally the words of St. Teresa of Avila. She says, quote, you can place yourself in the physical presence of Christ, talk with him, laugh with him, and confide in him. Instead of using formal prayers, extemporaneously express your interests. This will result in rapid progress, close quote. I'm going to read that again so that you don't think this is Protestant for me to be holding Jesus, telling him about my hopes, my dreams, my past, my future. What does it mean to be a missionary? Why am I discerning the priesthood? Again, this is 20 years ago. I'm a priest now. But this is where you hold Jesus as you enter this meditation, and you can be totally assured this is the old school Catholic way of prayer, to have this intimacy, to be talking to Jesus. Listen to this quote from Teresa of Avila again. Maybe picture yourself now as sort of the preempting part of your prayer. Obviously, the main prayer is going to go when you turn your phone off for 15 minutes after this meditation. But listen to this quote of Teresa of Avila. Maybe picture yourself holding Jesus. You can place yourself, she says, in the physical presence of Christ. Talk with him, laugh with him, and confide in him. Instead of using formal prayers, extemporaneously express your interests. This will result in rapid progress. So here you hold Jesus. You tell him how thankful you are for your family. You tell him how sorry you are for your sins, that he had to be born in this world so that he could die for you. You tell him how much you're going to try to love him in the future. This is the way of St. Ignatius of Loyola. This is the way of St. Teresa of Avila. Just a couple quick announcements if you'd stick around. These videos will not be on Census Fidelium because my friend Steve at Census found that he will get dinged on his monetization if he uploads these to two videos. So please subscribe to Padre Peregrino at YouTube or on a podcast app. Also, please share these videos or podcasts, either on social media or even better, by telling friends and family. Please, please pray for my apostolate and have your family pray for me. Pray the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ on your days off. Remember that I'm going to upload these videos on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday. Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday will be the meditation days. Monday, Wednesday, Friday is going to be the catechism days. So you might want to think on the days I release the catechism, of still watching the catechism videos, but meditating on the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, so you keep those 15 minutes of prayer every day. So I'll leave you with that encouragement, that admonition. Most importantly, please do the 15 minutes of prayer on your own, with your phone off now. Maybe even think of turning the phone off right as this video ends. Pray on the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you.